5:30. Welcome to the January 25th, 2012 Landmark Preservation Commission meeting. First item on the agenda is roll call. Those present, Chair McIntyre, Vice Chair Maddox, Commissioners Eckley, House, Jensen, Luce, Ray. Second item on the agenda is consent agenda. We have two members who have called in, both Commissioners York and ex officio McClintock. Move excusal of absences. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Third item on the agenda, no comments. Fourth item on the agenda, board briefing. Item A, University of Washington Tacoma Hood Street Corridor Project, Mel Trimley, and your guest.
Harlan Patterson.
We give you the floor.
Thank you. A pleasure to come back, and a pleasure to let you know what we've been up to on the Hood Corridor. It's been, what, 3-4 months since we come and showed you where we were at. And since we've talked, we've replaced our design team with a new design team, Atelier Dreisaitl. They are based out of Germany and have an office in Portland. And what we were looking for in making the change is the project was more scoped than what we had anticipated as far as with the original design team. We were going to try to piggyback on a Tioga Library project. And we wanted a little bit more oomph, creativity, thoughtfulness in the design, and I think we've done that. I think you'll appreciate what I'm going to show you here. A lot of this was part of the Architectural Commission presentation, and the charge for the design team was to bring three options to the design team and to the commission. And if you're like me, every one of these you'll go, yeah, that's great, let's do that. And then you'll look at the next one and you go, yeah, that's a great idea, let's do that one. And then, you know, you'll go through all three of them. And I'll say what we're doing now is a last round of public outreach, and this is part of it. Next Monday at 5 o'clock at Phillip Hall, we'll have another open forum. It's kind of the last chance. Now we've got these ideas. Let us know which of these you like, but also what elements of these ideas that you like. Because obviously we're going to focus on one of these options and develop it further to our phase one. And then we're going to develop it actually for the whole length of the Hood Corridor, which for the new members is from 17th to 21st. That's the part that the university owns, the 80-foot right-of-way there. And then we're going to focus on one of the three options, and then we're going to take some of the elements as we can and put them in. I think of note, as we go through, you'll notice all of these options, the rail line stays there. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be able to see it all the time. It might go in and out, but you'll know where it was. So pay attention to that. Again, real quick, you know, we're going through a process here. We've had some previous discussions. There's been a lot of new information from talking to students and the community and getting input. You know, what do you want this to be? You know, is it just a path? Is it a gathering space? Is it a place for students? You know, how does the community work? And then we'll go through a little bit of some of the ideas the design team did, and then we'll show you the three options, and then we'll compare them. This will give you a little bit of our timeline. We're actually now up in here, just starting the refinement phase. So, you know, now we've shown the options to the Architectural Commission. They've kind of said, yeah, come back with the one you like, and well, we can accept any one of them. They did have a preference for one, and well, I think a lot of people are leaning there, so we'll go through that a little bit. And then we're going to go phase one. And again, we don't have the $7 to $8 million that it would take to really make this happen for the whole length of the corridor. So we have enough funding with the grant from the city as far as the stormwater, some other grants we got. We got funding to do with what we're calling a phase one. The interesting thing there is we don't know what phase one is. We know how much money we have, but we do know where we want to focus. And part of the focus is going to be between our two libraries. And so we'll determine what phase one may be, a grading of the whole thing and setting up the platform. We still are in that discussion. But we're gonna move forward on phase one schematics once we get the whole design done, go into design development, and we'll be going out to bid and permit in December, and next summer of 13 is when we're gonna be building phase one and have it complete by that fall. We were previously trying, and I think last time I talked to you, we were trying to have a phase one open with the new library, and we've kind of said, you know, that's not realistic to do this right, and so we've slid that out a year, but we are gonna look at some interim options to keep it safe for access in the interim. Okay. Again, those of you who have been out on the campus, this was taken last summer, obviously, not last weekend. Give you a kind of a sense of the terrain here. You can see looking to the south, a steep elevation change to the west, and then kind of a flat area. And this is actually a coal bunker that you're seeing here. That's an old remnant of a coal bunker. This is actually a kind of an interim thing we've done from 19th. To make it passable for the students, and it's working quite well, actually. They use it, just put some gravel between the tracks and then threw some sod down, or some seed down. And then you're looking here at 3, which is by the spaghetti factory and looking out towards 17. We always try to focus, and one thing we've really done with this design team is focus on our objectives. And these are them, and I just go, the bold will tell you, you know, some open space for the campus. The curve of the tracks, you know, try not to lose that historical northern transcontinental railway presence. The community connections with the TAM, with Tolleson, with the south, moving to the south. The industrial past, again, as you guys know, the heritage of our campus is an industrial warehouse area. We want to make sure that shows in this, and you know, it doesn't show as a modern type thing. It's going to have some of that touchstone to the past. The historic significance of the railway. Again, this is what built Tacoma. It's what brought the immigrants in and what started the Carlton and the Swiss and all those other things that are around the campus. Incorporate the sustainable strategies for stormwater, and that's working with Lauren and a group with the city and their grant. The campus connections is very important to us. How do we get students east-west, you know, as well as north-south along this trail? Safe and secure. Again, when it was owned by Burlington Northern, those of you who were out there knew that it was just a hiding place waiting to happen with the tall grass and whatnot. So this gives us a chance to make it, to apply SEPTED practices and make it safe for everybody. And then minimize the width of dedicated easements. Make it so that any easements for water, utilities, or whatever are as small as they can be. I put this in here because it does show the old, this is the old North Transcontinental Railway. Some of you may have seen this, but it points this way to the west. And some ad salesman thought that this was kind of a neat thing, but I left it in here because I think it is kind of a cool thing. And one of the things that our design team, you'll notice the differences in terrain as you go from the east coast to the west. And so they wanted to capture some of that flavor of moving across the nation and what this represented. This is an interesting one because this is their tool for showing there's a lot that wants to happen here. And you know, you look at the rail itself and the trail and the water and the earthwork and the gathering spaces and then just the plantings. And this was their way of showing the commission. When you put them all together, it looks like just a bunch of gobbledygook. And that's the real challenge, is how do you take all these separate elements and make it make sense and read and work. And you can see one of their strategies, I was talking before, the trail stays, but it might be buried. It may be look like a work as a bridge. It might be underwater. It might be buried in the path, but it's always there. And feel free to, if you got any questions as you're going through. Again, and I'll try not to take too long on some of these, just showing some of the water and where the existing rainfall and how it's gathered down the corridor. This is going back to the analysis of, you know, green space on the campus and access east-south, east-west, north-south. You can see the nodes that start to be created out here by the Joy Building. And, you know, this is the Gillen Water, which right now is our only real active green space. It's relatively small. But in the future, the campus core will start to show up. This is out of the master plan, and you know, it does show that the Hood Corridor is an element of our master plan. It is a connector. What they listened to, you know, they heard some discussions about the trail options and what might happen when the city acquires the property and where they might go with their trail. What we might do in the interim, you know, whether it's using faucet or something like that, transitioning at 21st. The stormwater grant, the library, that's been a big factor. You know, now that we have the new library addition and the sky bridge and what happens underneath there, between there is key. And again, since we had the Burlington Northern on the track up until 2003, we turned our back to this, and now we want to say, how do we open it up? How do we embrace and bring people off the trail into our campus? This is one of the open forums we had. You'll recognize the Joy Building here. A lot of input from the community. This turned out, it was a great sunny day right next to the trail. Had a lot of input, a lot of good comments. You can see they're working with the water here, showing them how water can move and some of the things we can do with the project. This is just kind of give you a sense on how this is our portion here and how it ties into a potential city project on a Prairie Line Trail to the south and to the north, down to the Foss Waterway. I think you've all seen that before. This is a kind of an interim look at what might happen with the bikes now. We are looking at this, and one of the philosophies is that this isn't a bike highway. Being on campus, we want it to be kind of a more passive place where people stop, look, learn, listen, you know. And so we're looking at, if you really are a biker and you're trying to get somewhere, we're trying to direct that other places. So you might come in here and then take this meandering route here and then link back up. Or if you're going, for instance, to City Hall, you take the faucet, which is identified in the city plan as a commuter route. And then the interim, another alternative would be using C or Commerce to the south until this other part gets developed. This is showing the drainage area that we're taking care of with the grant. It's pretty significant. I don't know if I have a number here, but it really is collecting and then taking what now is going down 19th unfiltered and processing it through a series of stormwater natural filtration and different mediums, so that when it does come out here at 17th, we've improved the quality of water going into the waterway. The three alternatives, I'll give you a background on each of them and show you the process, some illustrations, and some of the things that they looked at that are already in place that they're kind of, that they liked. Okay? The first scheme, and I love this picture because it really shows the heritage of the campus, but it's called the Rail Spurs. And it really kind of goes off of, you can see the Prairie Line here, but you can also see all the sidings and all the rail sidings that allowed the trains to come off the track, get loaded, unloaded, really stock the warehouses. And then this is how it starts to turn into some vocabulary. You see these rails, the spurs that come off, and here's your main Prairie Line Trail adjacent to the spurs that, and of course it came off on Commerce and serviced these warehouses too. And then some of the early concept drawings of, you know, the loading dock concept that we have on Joy, how we might continue that. And that is one thing that I think whatever we do, we'll have some kind of weather protection along the buildings to move students around the campus. Dealing with elevation changes, because this does change all the way through the campus. And then, you know, how do you handle the texture across and be true to the spur itself? So this is one of the concept drawings with that. You see the trail, the spur is coming off, green spaces. You start to see the water showing up at different points. It pops out different areas. So that, you know, we were trying to get away from what Lorna likes to call the concrete caskets that line up end to end. So this is more spaced out, different varieties, and again, can be incrementally applied. Again, people watching opportunities, using the elevation to our advantage, and making it more of a gathering space, just something that has a little variety to it. Another concept at the north where it's a little flatter. And then this is just kind of a model to kind of give you a sense of how this might work. And if you look at this, gives you maybe a better sense of conceptually what you might see as you're moving along. As you can see, there is a bikeway, there's a walkway, but it is not highway. It's very meandering, very passive, with sitting areas, a lot of wood, which is indigenous to the northwest here. And then looking the other way, what it might look like. This is 17. See the science building showing up here. Nice dock type area. And then this is some of the precedents for this spur. Some of the things they've seen at other places. Use of water. The second one is called Docks and Channels. And it combines the docks with some stormwater channels. I was talking about the bunker before. This is actually that hill that goes between 19th and 21st. It is an old coal bunker, and we still have some remnants of it on campus. So you can see how this starts to work where the stormwater is here, but it still kind of keeps some of that spur vernacular. In some concept drawings. Then it starts to get developed. You can see how they're capturing the water within it. It's a little more angular than the other one. Again, some concept drawings, cross sections both ways. And you see how this starts to create these large decks and plazas. This is showing that this is actually, this sky bridge next week will be placed. So something to watch for there. Again, always looks a little different when you're looking at it from eye level. And this really translates very nicely. A lot of playfulness with the water in this scenario. This is actually at the Grand Stair. One of the things that's been criticized with this model is reading the curve gets a little interrupted and disrupted by this pier coming out. And then some of the conceptual ideas that are in place at other locations. The third one's called the Garden Rooms. And it's based on a series of rooms, and it really ties into what was the existing buildings here. They were all a little different. They all, you know, they all had a little character that was different. And so they tried to work off now the spurs, the trail, and these little different spaces along it. And so they looked at it as, you know, transport movement along the sides and maybe some movement across, some covered walking next to the buildings. So you can see how this starts to turn into where you can pull the water off, bring it in along it, and then it might disappear for a while. But the interesting thing about this one is you can have a seasonal use to it, where this might be water during the wet season and allow it to dry out and use it for a plaza during the summer. So it has that kind of a functionality where you get more space during different times of the year. It kind of shows you that look. It almost looks modern there, doesn't it? But when you look at it from this level, it can be a real pleasant type thing, thinking that these are shallow pools that could dry up at some point and be used. You have here a combination of shallow and deep. And then the use of the space for markets, you know, it allows the markets and gathering spaces, study spaces. Again, some of the conceptual ideas that they applied. I like this one. These are old railroad tracks, actually, that are used as a barrier. Again, the shallow water idea. Playing shallow and deep. And this kind of shows that seasonal ability of that, where you still have the filtration, but in the summer it would be limited to just a narrow portion of it, and then during the winter it can flow up as the more volume is released. An interesting thing about the stormwater on this one is we can control the volume because we pick off of 19th what we want, off 21st what we want. So We can mandate it. This is just kind of a putting them all together so that you can talk and discuss. This is a good place to answer any of your questions, but you can kind of see they're all unique. They're all a little different. They all have some real positive elements, and there's some things that we can work on. That's about it. I'll leave it there to go to the last page. On your handouts, there's a website. You can look at all this. Most of this is on there. Not all of it, because the design team doesn't like everything to be out there. With that, I'd entertain any questions, comments? One tweak your interest?
Were there any recommendations or notes regarding the maintenance? I'm just curious if there
would. You know, I made a lot of notes about maintenance. You know, obviously the wood is going to be something that's going to be high maintenance, and we need to look at that. And we even talked about it. Maybe it's not wood. Maybe it's reconstituted plastic or something like that. Maybe a different material. Maintenance came up a lot. And obviously, the maintenance of the storm cells are really a city responsibility, since they are the cities. But we are also looking at them. We talked also about, you know, having check stations where the students, as part of their curriculum, and the city can see what the different mediums do and how many particulates are out and run tests. But maintenance is always in my mind, I can assure you.
But Milt, your water. This is an infiltration system, right? I mean, so you're not going to have a lot of standing water over long periods of time, though, are you?
It depends on how some of it may, you know. And you can see some of these concepts. You have water, and like I say, we can pick it up.
Yeah. Well, are you retaining it somewhere, and then feeding it through this system?
We can retain it at the head, and then just pull
and then
it
just
out.
Control it off,
yeah.
Off of a valve in
right.
The 21st or
right.
Okay.
Right. Well, we can retain it within the corridor too. You'll see they have some large pools that we can just shut off
and keep
it at a level.
Full.
Keep it at a level if we need
okay.
to. And that, I think that's the real uniqueness of what we have here, is that we have an ability to modulate what we have for water.
Yeah, because a lot of these systems, I mean, they have water when it's raining, and
then
you know, when people
this
when
can
sunny,
be,
when,
this,
when it's sunny and people are out and
yeah.
want to see it, it's not. It's
we
dry.
Also talked about those of you who are familiar with town. On 25th, there's a natural spring. There's a potential in the future, it just might expand down that way that it would be flowing.
Right. That's where the brewery was, so that's
yeah.
where the spring is.
The water.
Artesian well. Yeah, exactly. Any preference among commissioners for a particular scheme, and if so, why?
Preference.
Huh? I want to hear your preference before I tell you what their preference was.
My preference is slightly towards A, just because it seems like it maintains more of the sense of a rail corridor. I like the fact you're keeping the rails in all places. I think I'm seeing a little more rail on A. So historically, I prefer A, not necessarily because wood's there or wood isn't there, but just because of the flow and the fact the rails seem a little more evident or the suggestion of rails. That's still the other, a couple other questions. One question is there any switching or any other pieces of iron left along that corridor besides the rails?
Well, that's a good question. We did keep the switch gear. Remember, we salvaged that. We're going to look at, as we get more into detail, as you can imagine, this is kind of an overall thing. We'll look at what we might do with the doghouses, you know, whether they hang around or whether we use pieces of them. The switch gear is a good example. The crossings, you know, they don't show them here, but obviously we heard from the public a strong interest to keep those crossing arms and the lights and all that in place, and if not, replace them with more of an earlier version of them in some cases. So although it doesn't show there, and the other thing that's missing in these kind of drawings are any furniture, bike racks, trash cans, dog walking stations, you know, all those things that a little more, we're not into that kind of a detail yet, but they'll start to fill out the picture for you.
I like A for the reasons that Ken stated, but I like C because it just looks more flexible.
Yeah, I would have to concur. B seems like it's the most contrived and the least fitting for that space. It just seems like you're trying too hard mm-hmm. for that space. I like C because of the open spaces you make, but I would have to prefer A just for the reasons that Ken noted, because it seems like it flows with the space and it maintains the rail, and you have more opportunities in that to for interpretation along the way.
I agree. A is my preferred, and I agree. B seems a little, it doesn't seem like it really fits kind of what's going on. C's got kind of a little bit more of that kind of grassy public space feel to it, which will be nice. But I think A gives you enough hardscape areas too to be able to have some of those gathering spaces.
Yeah.
It's a little less lush, I guess, but probably a little bit more kind of historical sense of that.
Well, you're close. B is the one that was least liked by the commission. You know, if you were going to rank it 1, 2, 3, it just didn't quite make enough sense. And the angularity of it, the fact that point comes out and takes away from the curve. So that was probably the third choice from the commission. And like I say, we're still taking input. Yours is in that stack. The second choice was A, with the rails. The first choice was actually the garden rooms concept. And the reason that people are leaning toward that is the phasing. It's the one that really lends itself to being able, if you can envision going from here to there, and having that working and up and running, and the ability to come back in the next year or so and do this part. And then when we figure out what we're going to do going over to 21st, you do that part. And so from that standpoint, it kind of made sense. And the ability to get more space in the summer was something that we like to play with. So we're kind of leaning here, but there are elements in each of these that will go there. And I can't tell you, we may end up back here. It's real close. Like I said, everybody who's looked at these has gone. And they're all great solutions.
I think it'll come down for you between the maintenance, and it might just be the materiality between A and C. It looks like C, there's less materiality. It's more just plantings and open spaces and pavers. Where A, a little more, you've got woods and iron and a few other things going on there, and B itself, it just seems like it's a construction project more than like a landscape project than anything else.
Although the design, the commission said they were all good, I think B is one that, if you had a throwaway.
Yeah, it's overly contrived. Yeah.
It feels forced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like the direction? Do you like the concepts that are shown here? Is there something missing?
Yeah, what would interest us also, and there's no way that you could answer that, would be how do these concepts fit with what's going to happen on either side of it for the city? I mean, you know, that's never been really discussed, and it's nothing that you can actually answer.
We would hope that what we do informs that. But we do see this as being the hood quarter piece has a little bit more objectives than the rest of the trail. Because the rest of the trail is going to be more of a true pathway trail thing, I would imagine. Because I don't think the city's going to have the funds to do a full 80-foot development. It's going to be limited probably to a 20-foot and working with the neighbors. But I would hope that what we do here will be continued, at least start to, the rest of it starts to respond to what we do here.
Okay. Are there any other questions or comments?
I'll just share.
Can I raise a design question?
Certainly.
Sharon Lindros is hard to call. I'm interested in, I guess I'm concerned about how far this is moving from the historical narrative of the Prairie Line Trail. And I understand that there's some stormwater issues to be addressed, but I'm interested in why there's so much water in these designs.
Well, one answer to that is there's a $1.5 million grant that the city has in order to take care of stormwater. That's probably the best answer to that.
So that's why there's so much water.
There's a requirement in the grant that we process a certain amount of,
of water.
On-site.
On-site.
Rather than having to...
Right, we provide the filtration.
That's above ground, that's visible.
Right. That's how you get it filtered, you have to have a medium that's removable.
Bioswale.
Because there's no water passing through campus now.
No, there isn't. And that's part of the problem is the water that's going, and really a lot of the water that we're collecting is not from the campus, it's from the hilltop. And right now it's going on process to cost.
So you're addressing an issue for the whole...
Right, runoff, yeah.
Okay, I got it, I still want to comment on...
No, and that's a good comment.
On Ken's comment about the historical narrative, any artifacts that could be integrated into the design to hold on to that narrative, because I too am concerned about the continuity of the project from the city end through the campus back into the city part of it,
right,
that there's a narrative that flows, and integrating any pieces you've got would be a great thing.
Sure. Now, do you guys have a regular meeting with your heritage group?
With what group?
Just to say you're with Heritage Tacoma, do you meet on a regular basis?
Historic Tacoma.
Do you meet on a regular basis?
Yeah, we meet monthly.
If you want, I will give you my card and be glad to make a presentation.
Yeah, there's actually a related topic that I want to talk about. So we've met at meetings before, Mel.
We got my card then.
Well,
let me give you one.
Give me another one. It's been a while. Great. Well, thank you.
And
I know Mike hasn't chimed in yet. I haven't had a chance to sit down with Michael Solomon.
Oh, right.
I was just talking with him yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Has he seen these?
He's bent my ear a couple of times. Are there any? Yeah, Commissioner House.
I guess, and related to the Sharon's point about the crossings, dog houses. Obviously, I'd prefer you use them, but most importantly to me would be if you don't use them, that they get maintained and be used, either stored or used elsewhere in the city, that they're not discarded. And I will ask my perennial two questions, since you happen to be here, that are not directly related, but can you give us like the 1 to 2 minute update on the Heidelberg sign and the Japanese language school?
Sure. Heidelberg sign, we're in the final stages of the development with Corsmo of this display that will be down below the Joy Building on the ground floor. And just before the storm, I had sent an email to Scott because he was accumulating some pictures of some ghost signs for that display, and I didn't get a response from him yet, so I've got to get back to him. But that's what we're working on.
And so we'll hear about that before it's finalized?
I can come and present it to you.
I guess that's up to the rest
of
the commission.
Okay, we can do that. We can do that, absolutely. And then what was the second part?
Language school.
The language school. Actually, the Japanese language school will reside somewhere along the Hood Corridor. And we've talked about, if you look at where we want it to be in the phase one, it's still in the fundraising, as you know, for that. They have been working with Gerald, the one that did the glove at the Safeco Field. He's a sculptor, but they've got a sculpture that they're working on, as well as plaques. So there's a preliminary design that Mike Wark has that he's looking for the funding on that. And the latest plan is, as funding is raised, that element would be something along this trail that people can stop and commemorate and recognize the Japanese, like the memorial would exist.
I think the thing we talked about last time too is I'm assuming you're involving the Japanese American community in that process.
Yes, we are. Absolutely. We have a group of a lot of the former students, and you know, Greg Tambera, and of course Nakano, we have them, and they're very, the sculpture itself is very representative of the Japanese culture. It's kind of a yin-yang type of thing. It's really works well.
Thanks for letting me urge.
No, no problem. And the banners are...
Right, we knew about those, yeah.
You got the hold. We should be getting them up this week. They would have been up if it wouldn't have been for the weather. They are in stock in the shop now. Just a matter of getting some staff to do that.
Are there any other questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry to return back to the water issue. I just thought of this while we were talking. Has there been any consideration to so heavily incorporating water into the design that supposed drain patterns change further uphill and there's not as much need for retention of that much water in the future, and supposing that this infiltration system 10 years down the road is deemed not necessary or perhaps inefficient or not correct
for that purpose,
which design best enables us to retrofit it to something else without having...
Well, obviously something that is chopped up like the gardens would probably be the answer to that. But, you know, I don't see us wanting to, at least in the next 10 years, let's put it that way, wanting to not filter the water coming off the hilltop.
Right, but I'm...
We never know.
I have worries about making so much of the design dependent upon the retention of water.
And part of that is that you guys are familiar with, you know, the money speaks. Having the money to do this and having the stormwater element allows us to do a lot of what we propose to do.
What chunk of your budget is that? I'm sorry.
$1.5 million out of phase one. It's about 40%.
Okay, I think that concludes it.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much, and we'll come back and give you some updates on the Japanese language school and the ghost sites.
Thank you.
And please show up at the open house. That way you can hear what others are saying and get your input to the design team.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
That concludes item 4, board briefing A. Item 5, board business. Item A is design guideline update for 2012.
Yeah, I'm going to be really, really short. all I wanted to do was to bring up the fact that the Wedge neighborhood and North Slope neighborhood design guidelines are still scheduled to be updated. This on the work plan we put together last year. We had thought we were going to put in at least some preliminary or cursory sort of changes into those before the annual update last year, but we just plain ran out of time on that. And so there was a group made up of commissioners, North Slope ex officio, folks from the Wedge neighborhood who were interested in working on that process. And really, the design guidelines themselves, as the commissions, no longer go through a code change to get updated. The commission can adopt updates to them each year at the end of the year. And just kind of a recap, the things that they're missing that at least we initially discussed putting into the design guidelines includes some sort of economic hardship or feasibility language that's separate from what's in the code, which really talks more about whether or not a building can even be feasibly used as a historic landmark, but more say someone's proposing alternative materials, is there a financial behind it? What are the criteria for that? When is that appropriate? What kinds of alternative materials, because those aren't discussed in the design guidelines currently at all. And it's going to come up more and more and more as we head into the future and things become more scarce, which also leads to sustainability language. And one huge thing that's missing in the design guidelines is any sort of language relating to green development, sustainability. I mean, obviously, preservation talks a lot about adaptive reuse, preserving materials that exist, things that are irreplaceable, and so on. And that's always been talked about as being a sustainable approach to things. And it's true. However, the design guidelines, as they were written back in 1994, don't say any of that. And that's even if it's part of the intent. In those situations, it should be stated intent. This is one of the reasons why it's done this way. But then also just about other things, alternative materials, all building systems, things like that. The other thing is the Secretary of the Interior Standards, the commission was using both those and the design guidelines to make decisions under the previous code. And sometimes they conflict with one another just because the design guidelines tend to be locally applied guidelines based on lots of different factors, and the Secretary of the Interior Standards and best practice is supposed to be part of those. And so reincorporating those Secretary of the Interior Standards back into the design guidelines, maybe not overtly, But instead, the guidelines are sort of the product of the Secretary of the Interior standards plus local conditions and neighborhood desire, and then you get your guideline. And an example might be the design guidelines talk a lot about windows, and the Secretary of the Interior standards, the treatment of windows would inform what the guidelines say, if that makes sense. In the past, we actually had some situations where the Secretary of the Interior standards, some commissioners would find those in conflict with the design guidelines. For instance, some people read the design guidelines to suggest that if you're going to build an addition onto the house, the addition should look like a modern addition to a historic house. And that's not necessarily the interpretation everybody will make, but some people perceive that as being a conflict. And so the design guidelines will provide clarity in those situations. And clarity is really the key, because it's about predictability for folks that are designing projects. Not that it tells them exactly what to design, but that there's a fair chance that their interpretation is closer to what the commission might use. The commission's using the same set of standards to evaluate a project, and the intent is clear. Also, this commission, in the past 8 years that I've been here, has always had sort of a conflicted identity with exterior materials and windows. And this really comes right out. This gets back to the alternative materials thing, but hardy plank, which has been allowed in some certain circumstances. We've had a couple of economic hardship type circumstances or feasibility that have more recently come to play. Windows themselves, I think that the design guidelines really need to have a sort of a stated approach about what the desire is and what the intent is for windows. It's sort of hinted at right now, but it really just needs to be. And sort of coming to, sort of calling the question on what that direction is going to be might be a difficult thing to do. But it should be, because if it's not in there, then people are searching for the answer, and they don't find it until they get here. It's probably a little too late. We don't have any information about ADA accessibility for buildings in the design guidelines. That should probably be incorporated, at least at the very top level, intent is everything. So if the design guidelines even provide the language about the intent, what the commission's view on ADA accessibility is generally.
There is a section in the ADA, ABA that deals with retrofitting historic buildings.
Yeah, right, as you know.
And so linking those two things up, for instance.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Because one of the things the guidelines do is they both tell the commission what the set of rules are for evaluating a project, as well as telling applicants. And so that can be helpful in both ways. You're communicating sort of in the same language or same channel. Kind of to a lesser degree, we have a bunch of little missing items. Like, we don't talk about when people are sticking things on the roofs, like satellite dishes, or telecommunications equipment, or skylights. And so there are some little elements like that will come up from time to time. The skylights issue is infrequent, but it does come up. And there's lots of, I'm not failing to think of other examples right now, but there's a lot of little smatterings of things like that that really should be addressed. And so that's sort of the general scope. And there may be other things that the commissioners or residents in the neighborhoods think up. But for the time being, anyways, I think the commissioners who were involved in that last year, I was emailing, will remember. But if there's anybody else who's interested in that, who's not involved in that, I can sort of loop you in. And what I did last year and what I'll do again is I have a number of examples of guidelines from around the country that I asked the group to at least look over, browse, find things I really don't like, find things I really do like. And then my plan was to sort of schedule some work group meetings, sit down and sort of hammer out a framework or a general approach, or I might propose an approach and let people react to that. And then from that point, maybe work, go out and circle in the public setting, for like a neighborhood meeting or something like that, just try to find out what people's reactions to this are, especially with the windows issue. Because the windows issue was a hard issue in 1994 and subsequently wasn't dealt with as frontally as it probably could have been. So careful what I wish for, but
yeah.
So that concludes my update on that.
All right, at this time I would like to open the floor to any announcements or questions that commissioners might have. The awards group, we need to meet between now and the next next Landmarks meeting, at least that's what was suggested. Four of the five are here. So I'd say pick your favorite spot to meet, and that's what we'll do, and bring your ideas as to who we should contact. Oh. Do you have any nominations that you would like to see awarded this year from Historic Tacoma?
What are your categories?
We don't have categories yet. We're still in the formations group. In fact, we'll probably put categories to the project themselves. I'm thinking Swedish Baptist Church is one project that we will probably at least look at. And let's see.
Make Sure House.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Make Sure House.
Yes. That's one that I was thinking. What was the other one? It escapes me now. But in any event, if you have any ideas, we
can ask. I can ask our board.
That would be good. Any other announcements or comments?
Just kind of unrelated.
That's fine.
February 9th, I'll be giving a presentation at our office for Egypt trip, if anybody's interested.
February 9th?
Yep, February 9th at 4, we'll have refreshments, beer, etc. So,
I think our meeting
Thursday
is...
Correct.
Yeah, February 9th.
That's
Thursday.
That's a Thursday.
Yeah.
Our
meeting's at 8.
Yeah, the Landmarks meeting's the night before.
Yep.
So please remind us then.
Okay.
And with that, we are adjourned.